All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 5 again. Romans chapter 5. I want to read verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we had best thank God for that. Amen. That, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, in this message this Sunday morning, and of course, thank God, God willing, myself, Paul, Joe will get a break next Sunday. But in my dealing with this passage, I will not deal with every verse in our text yet. But I do not want to rush through this. So there will be more messages on these verses, 12 through 21. At least one more, but maybe more than that. What I want to try to deal with mainly this morning is Paul's original thought. The original thought, as you can see, starts in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then our translators have put in what we call the parentheses. This is Paul explaining what he's just said and giving some information concerning what he's going on to say. The original thought then continues in verse 18. You see it? That's where the end of the parentheses is at. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And of course, he continues down through verse 21. What I'm going to deal with then this morning is the original thought. Now, in his letter, Paul here has unabashedly introduced the gospel truth of substitution in chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. I mean, it is unabashed. Substitution.
Yes, sir.
And let me just try to summarize this. Everyone whom Jesus Christ died for, he died in their place. He died as their substitute.
Yes.
Everyone that he died for, he reconciled them to God when he died for them.
Yes, sir.
And not only did he die, but he was buried and he rose again and was ascended back to the Father's right hand.
Yes, sir.
He now lives to make sure that everyone that he reconciled by his death, they shall be saved by his life. And not only will they be saved, they won't just wake up in glory, they will actually come to receive the reconciliation, or atonement as we have it here in the KJV. So again, I say, in his letter, Paul has unabashedly introduced the gospel truth of substitution. With gospel substitution, it is not true of all substitution. It's not true of all substitution. But concerning gospel substitution, that is, Jesus Christ standing as the substitute for a particular people. With gospel substitution always comes representation. They are, and it's probably not the best illustration, but it's the best I've got. They are like the two sides of one coin. If you ever get a coin and it has the stamp on one side and it doesn't have the stamp on the other side, then it is a counterfeit. Gospel substitution goes hand in hand with representation. But now listen to me now. This is not, that is, even Paul's original phrase, thought rather, verse 12 and then 18 through 21. This is not about origination. It is about representation. Most, sadly, it's sad to have to say, I fear that most who are taught from the Bible and most who even probably profess to be Christians think that what Paul does in verses 12 all the way through 21, original thought and parentheses, is explain to us where sin came from in this world. Now, do you understand what I'm saying here? But he's not just talking about where sin came from in this world. Sin existed before Adam fell.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Eve was in the transgression and had sin, but we did not fall in Eve.
Exactly.
So you see what this is, most people read this, okay, all this sin problem started with Adam. And they go over, they say a few fluffy words about the rest of it, and they pass right on by it.
Yeah. Right.
And it's sad. Because what men are passing by is the very hope of a man or a woman's soul. The angels sinned. Now, when they sinned, I do not know. The book does not tell us definitively. I say this for the sake of argument. If there was a gap, if there was a creation before the Adamic creation that God destroyed, maybe he did destroy it because of the fall of Satan. I do not know. The first few verses in Genesis allow for that, but they do not dogmatically teach that.
Exactly.
Now, do you understand what I'm saying? So therefore, I can't argue with a man right, left or right.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't say that, although the words can be allowed to be used that way. But nevertheless, the serpent who, and I can explain all this, the serpent who is said to be Satan had already sinned and fallen. And was in the garden with Adam and Eve before they sinned. So this ain't about origination. And men read this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Well, that's where sin came from. No, it's not. No, it's not. God does not tell us where sin came from. But he exposes all who had it in them.
Yes,
Satan, fallen angels, Eve, Adam.
Sir.
And think about this. This is not origination. Again, I say it's representation. And that, as I hope you can probably gather, you've gathered, this is my title and my subject, representation. Angels, a myriad of angels fell with Satan and became, I suppose that's an okay word, and became therefore called demonic. They are but spirits, but they are created spirits. Fallen or unfallen, elect or otherwise, all of the angels are God Almighty's creation And some in that original myriad of angels fell when Satan fell. And our Lord said, I observed Satan fall from heaven like lightning. When that happened, I do not know. But it was before God created man and woman and they ate of the fruit. It's before that. Maybe it happened sometime before, after the Adamic creation. I do not know. But God does not allow us to delve into such things because it's not about where sin started. It's about being represented by someone. And in Paul's context, there are only, in all of the billions of humans that have existed since Adam and Eve, only two men have been representatives.
Yes, sir.
As the parentheses lets us know, Paul clearly marks the one man whereby the fall and condemnation came. Adam, doesn't he?
That's right.
He marks a man who gave a law that clearly defined what sin is, tells us the right things to do and the things not to do. That's Moses. But then he also talks of Jesus Christ in the parentheses. So there is no confusion here as to who this is. As he's writing, the Spirit of God has him write the words of verse 12. And I don't know how Greek's set up, but you know, I believe God Almighty protected this word for us. And it is the inspired word of God. And the Spirit of God moves him to then put in this, what we have in English as a parenthesis, clear delineation as to who and whom he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
So again, remember, if all you think about is this where sin started, you're missing something here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're missing, if God doesn't open our hearts and our minds and our eyes spiritually and our ears spiritually to lay hold of this truth, we are missing the only hope of a fallen son and daughter of Adam's soul.
That's right.
Now, in our text, then, he says, wherefore? Chapter 5, the first word in chapter 5, the first word in verse 12. The word wherefore is a little different from therefore. Therefore refers only back to what he's also said. That's what a therefore is. Now, there may be some exceptions when they translated this because back in the old English, they may not have seen the or cared about the delineation. But wherefore is more inclusive. It's not just talking, it is based upon what I've already said, but there is a conclusion to all of this, and the conclusion is vital. Wherefore, the word wherefore here means simply accordingly or based upon this. Paul now is moved, and I say moved. Paul is here moved by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
And he's moved by the Spirit of God to write down exactly what God in his wisdom knew we needed to know.
Yeah, there you go.
Nothing more, so that nothing in the issue is clouded. But nothing less, so that we're not left without hope in this world. Because if all we had was the truth of the one man's representation, Adam, we have no hope.
Amen. Right.
Being represented by Adam is a hopeless situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's already failed, we've already failed under condemnation.
Yeah.
Not in danger of condemnation. And I know some folks don't like this because they don't really believe in representation. They believe this is origination. No, this is representation. And many, and I will deal with this more later, but I'll throw it out there for you to chew on. The many and the all that Adam represented are the same number. And the many and the all that Christ represented are the same number. But the many and the all that Adam represented and the many and the all that Christ represented are not the same number.
Exactly.
They're just not the same number.
Right. Yeah.
Total universal corruption, Paul has already exposed in chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Jew or Gentile, there's none that understand. There's none that doeth good. There's universal corruption. In chapter 5, we have universal corruption. But we also have universal redemption. If you were represented by the man he's talking about.
Exactly.
And thus we read, and it's a little difficult in English, it's almost the contradiction in the English, and it is on the top.
Yeah.
I mean, just going to verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Do you see that little?
Yeah.
That confounded me for years. Because it's like he's talking out both sides of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then he says it again. Where is it? Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift.
Yeah, exactly.
You see the conundrum you've got here in your mind. But he's saying, it's the old phrase, it's saying it's the same, but it's different.
Yeah.
That's what that phrase means. It's the only possible explanation to what the phrase can mean. You see? So now, maybe I've give you just enough morsel to look forward to the next time when we deal with what's actually in the parentheses. Three things. Consider this about verse 12. By one man, and we, of course, know in the parentheses, that's Adam. There is no doubt about that. So we're not going into trying to prove that. It don't have to be proved. You just believe it. By one man, sin entered into the world, but not by Satan and not by Eve. Because this one man represented the world. All of his descendants, even though later they would be split up into what we call different races. Now, we are all a member of the human race.
Yes, sir.
And mankind has made his distinctions of races by the color of your skin. That is just not so.
Yeah, you're right.
We're all, being represented by Adam, members of the same race.
Wow.
God may have divided humanity up later into different ethnicities, but we're all still of the same race. There is no superiority here. We're all under a federal head in Adam, and we read what happened to us in Adam. All of us. And it's a lot of them, many. You see it, many. So by one man centered into the world. This is not about the devil. This is not about the woman. This is about the one man called Adam.
Amen.
Second thought, by one man, again it's Adam, by one man death entered into the world, not by Satan and not by Eve. You see it? Here's the third thing. In this one man's one offensive act against God, chapter 5, verse 18. Look what it says. Therefore, as by the offense, not offenses.
That's right.
It was one singular offense.
Yes, sir.
And in human eyes, and human reasoning, and human logic, it really don't seem to be that great of offense.
Yeah, you're right.
And I got to be bold. Adam didn't rape his wife Eve. Did he? He didn't go down to the local Walmart and hold it up with a gun. There were no Walmarts.
Yeah.
There were no guns. As one preacher said, he had no women to mess around with, no cigarettes not to smoke, and no liquor not to drink.
Right.
Now, did he? One thing, don't eat of that tree. And he still willingly, knowingly, with his eyes opened.
Yeah.
Eve's were not.
Yeah.
She was deceived. He was not deceived. And our problem is he represented us, not Eve.
Exactly.
Now, you females take a little hope in that. You're not the problem.
No.
The male is the problem.
Yes, sir.
The male is the problem. And one male.
Amen.
One male. I'm not your problem, though many have tried to make me out to be their problem. I'm not the problem.
Nope.
Now, I am a problem to me, but I'm not really your problem. If I am your problem, you got deeper fish to find. I'm just telling you. By one man. Do you see it? And also, death passed upon all that Adam represented. Because, or that is, for that, that's the word for there, is because all sinned in their representative. Do you see it? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed, not is passing. That is true of physical death. And I've heard people preach. I've heard them years ago. Well, this is talking about physical death. No, it is not. I am alive before you this morning. You are alive before me this morning. Physical death has not passed upon us. We are living. Now we can might say we're dying, but if you're dying, you're still not dead. And anybody that don't see the difference before that has evidently put blinders on when they went into a mortuary and viewed a body. Yeah. A corpse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed. It's already passed.
Amen.
Everyone after Adam was conceived in sin. Shapen in iniquity. Brought forth. Birthed speaking lies. For all death, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Original thought. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Because we all are a member of Adam's race. We all are represented by Adam. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And also the other verse. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And they didn't even all exist yet.
Exactly.
You see it? They didn't even all exist yet. We're made sinners. Now, we will, God willing, we'll look at this some later. We're made sinners. It doesn't say we're imputed Adam's sin. God does not impute what is not real. God does not. Remember, we looked at imputation. What it really means is to inventory. And God doesn't inventory a zero and says, oh, well, I'll make that a five. That is deceitful. That is unjust balances. God's balance, God's scales are balanced equally, zero all the way. Zero all the way. Look, for as by one man's disobedience, many were what? Made sinners. And remember, we'll look at this in more detail later, but just to remember the parentheses. For until the law, sin was in the world. The law didn't make sin sin. The law just come and expose sin for what it is. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now we say, well, but that Adam had one law, but you're jumping away from the context and trying to prove your own thought in this matter. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So what law in particular is he talking about there? The law of Moses. So God never imputed any man's sin to him or her. Until the law of Moses was given. But death still reigned. All that Adam represented fell into condemnation. Judgment had already been passed by a holy, sovereign, immaculate, immutable God. As Paul said here not too long ago, you know, the law is like that x-ray where you go through that, or what is it called, the tube you go into. What is it? MRI, something like that. It can expose the problem, but it cannot cure the problem. All it can do is bring the problem out in the open, but it can't fix it. It is impossible for it to fix it. That's what the law did. The law came along and exposed the problem, but the problem already existed. Death was already a reality. Even physical death was a reality. But this ain't about physical death. This is about spiritual death. God warned Adam. He told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, in the day, thou shalt surely die. And he did, though he lived hundreds of years physically after that. But he died spiritually. And it manifested itself, and rather than him falling on his face and crying out for his Creator and God to forgive him what he did, what he tried to do? Cover his own nakedness. And then when he heard God coming along, he went and hid.
That's exactly right.
He ran away from God rather than running to God. And that is the state into which all of us fail in our representative. By nature, we now always run away from God rather than running to God. Oh, we'll create a God of our own imagination and run to Him. But we won't run to our Creator. So, that's the proof. All in Adam, all who are of Adam, all represented by Adam, and there are many, and all Adam represented are included, they all sinned when Adam sinned. Chapter 5, verse 12. Why? Because he's our representative. We were in his loins. We're in his loins. Just like the writer of Hebrews says about Levi, who, when he was born and then was made priest, and the tribe of Levi was made priest, they received tithes. But the apostle Paul in Hebrews says, but he paid tithes. How did he pay tithes? In Abraham. And he paid tithes to Melchizedek. Why? Because he was in his loins. Abraham represented him. And this is not, again, this is not just some fancy term that theologians have played out there. This is, God defines this. We were literally in Adam's loins when he existed thousands of years ago. And when he sinned, we sinned. We sinned. Therefore, they all that Adam represented, have spiritual death passed upon them already, verse 12. And all are under condemnation, verse 18. All were made sinners. This is hopeless in Adam.
That's right.
This is hopeless. But thank God there was a second representative.
Yes.
Who existed even before the first representative did.
Sir.
That representative was the Creator that created Adam. That representative was the voice of God, because he is the Word of God that walked in the cool of the day and said, not for information, but to expose Adam to himself, wherefore art thou?
Yeah.
Forcing him to confess, or at least begin confessing, what had happened. Amazing. This is hopeless in Adam. And I've said it. You know, when you're young, sometimes you're afraid to say things. I do blame Adam. But I can't put my sin off on Adam, because I'm just like him after he fell.
Exactly.
Adam was not a natural man. He fell into sin. It's called original sin. It's called the fall. Why? Because there's only been one of them. You and I don't come into the world and then fall. We are conceived fallen. Now you get the difference. A lot of people are preaching this age of accountability, and nobody really knows when it is, but you're really basically okay until you get so old to understand so much, then you fall. You don't fall. If you fall in your own, you're a goner. The angels fell on their own.
That's right.
And they had no representative. They perish forever. And how proud are we sinful men? How many of us mourn over the spirits of the angels? Why do we not pray for them? Now, if you do, now a lot of people pray to them, maybe. Why ain't you praying for them? Because we know there ain't no hope for them. There ain't no hope for them. And who are us proud, human, fleshly creatures? These are spirit beings, but they can still be tormented. Ellen, I don't know how that's so. But God Almighty, remember the demon says, are you come to torment us before our time? They're going to suffer. Suffer. I don't know what that will be.
No.
And well, you people believe Jesus just died for certain people. Well, you ain't got a lick of care for an angel one, do you?
Exactly.
Why? Because you think just because you're human, you're superior. Scripture says humanity is lower than the angels.
Right.
Now, does it not?
Yes.
Lower. Christ didn't become an angel. He even went lower and became human flesh. That boggles my mind. Yes, in Adam it is hopeless, but gospel representation is never, ever, ever one-sided. It's never a counterfeit coin. It always has both sides. Representation in Adam and representation in Christ. Amen. Gospel representation has a substitute who also represents many, and he represents all for whom he is the substitute. That's the meaning of this here. Those for whom he died is not all without exception. Because if that's true, all without exception must be saved. But all that he represented will be saved. Because all that he represented, he was also their substitute. He could have represented us as a great teacher. But that wasn't enough. God's holy wrath and condemnation against sin had to be dealt with. And he did it in Christ. Therefore, original thought again. As by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Amen. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But thank God, because of this representative substitute, where sin abounded, grace did superabound.
Amen.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. And again, I say this is not a shout out to Jesus. This is a declaration that he is the one who brings it all to pass by Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't care how sinful you are. If Jesus Christ died for you, there's hope for you.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you just don't know how sinful I am. No, you don't know how sinful you are. No, I don't know either. But none of us knows how sinful we are in God's sight. Because sin was punished when God looked upon his adorable, precious, lovely Son. When he hung on that tree, and God the Father, when he seen our sins, those for whom he died, seen those sins in his body on that tree, God the Father turned his back on the Son.
Yes, sir.
Right. And I'm glad.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
And you see, well, preach about this, but that, don't, but deal with what Paul says here. Don't try to go to some other passage and explain this away. Deal with it for what it says.
That's it.
And if Christ represented me, if he is my substitute, yes, if he reconciled me, he will make sure I receive that reconciliation.
Amen.
And having received that reconciliation, he'll make sure I continually rejoice in it. What'd you preach, Joe? We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we got no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
Yes, representation by Adam is hopeless. It is disheartening, but God's way of representation declares true hope. There is a second representative.
Amen.
Do you reject Adam as your representative? Then you reject Christ likewise, because you can't have one without the other. Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe all that. You're going to believe what God says, or you are a liar.
Amen.
And men, God Almighty will deal with you at the point of your rebellion.
Yes, sir.
Not of something over here in the left field or right field. Just like the one fellow told the one preacher, he said, I've been baptized 2 or 3 times, but I ain't never going to be baptized again. Well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved.
No.
But if you make that a point of contention with God, God will make sure you go in that water. Because we don't ever tell God what we ain't going to do. Well, I'll never be a member of that church. Right there's your point of contention. Right there's your point of rebellion. Right there's your point of hate. Well, I'll never give money to support that gospel. That's going to be the one thing God's going to have to break you down on. You got all kinds of other things, but when you make When you try to tell God what you will not do, if you're one of his, that's the very thing he's going to confront you about.
Yes, sir.
So again, I say, do you reject Adam as your representative? Then you reject Christ likewise. Are you convinced that Adam represented you? When you look back and see how Adam was, and we read in this Bible of how his descendants was, can you relate to them?
There you go.
Hmm? Yeah. Can you? A lot of people can't. Well, I ain't never been that bad. No, I'm that bad.
Yeah.
If apart from God's grace, if I'd have been in Israel, I'd have been worshiping Nehushtan myself. Hmm? That brazen serpent, which God had ordained, but he didn't ordain for it to carry it around with him for years and start burning incense to it.
That's right.
Hezekiah comes along and grinds it to powder and puts it in water. So now, here, swallow your God. Swallow your God. Hmm. Are you convinced Adam represented you? I mean, you're convinced of it. Then you have hope that Christ represented you as well. Because it's not just about, well, I believe in that truth, preacher. No, I'm talking about you can taste it.
Yes, sir.
You can experience it. So much so that later on, as we will see, you will still cry out even after you've received the atonement, received the reconciliation. You're still forced out to cry, oh, wretched man that I am.
Amen.
Who? It's always a who. Don't look to anything else but that who. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad for that? Yeah. That brighten your day.
Yes, sir.
If you really believe him.
Yes, sir.
If you really believe him. Father, comfort us. Comfort us in all that we say and do, and not in those things themselves, but in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we fall miserably, Lord, strengthen us by the truth of thy Son, and the preaching of his gospel. In Christ's name, amen.